This edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, we're overbearing sports parents. Fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch, no matter if it's ugly, like the Philadelphia Eagles tend to be week in and week out. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome on in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Once again, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you after, once again, another defeat for the Philadelphia Eagles, bringing their record to 36-1, and still somehow by the skin of their teeth are still in first place in the NFC East because Doug Peterson decided to punt in overtime rather than going for a field goal, which potentially could have gotten them to four wins, but they do sit here at 36-1, just one loss shy of everybody else in the division, tied with everybody else with wins, which is crazy to say that the leader of any division in football only has three wins through week 11 of the season. And once again, it just goes to show you why the Eagles are 36-1 if you watched yesterday's performance. And it's kind of funny that we have traveled now full circle through a full cycle of the NFL span from where Carson Wentz started 5 years ago playing against the AFC North like we did this season, and frankly had a little better outing the first couple games against them in 2016. And you really look at that first game Carson ever played, and it was decisive. It was getting the ball out of his hands quick. I always remember that touchdown to Jordan Matthews. It was just boom, click, step, deliver, post to the corner, touchdown. And now it just seems like everything Carson is doing, everything this team is doing, is like peeling off a Band-Aid. Everything is just painful in the way they do it. It seems that there's, once again, no creativity to their game, and they're not having success on all of the metrics when it comes to offense, when it comes to points, when it comes to third downs, when it comes to capitalizing in the red zone, when it comes to running efficiency, when it comes to passing efficiency. They are, quote-unquote, a bad football team. And 36-1, it goes to show you how bad of a football team you are, and the only victories that you've had were against a beat-up San Fran team and two teams in your division who also weren't the best teams in the world by any stretch of the imagination. And there's a reason teams like Cleveland are winning these games in the elements and winning these games late in November, and they're a team that doesn't shoot themselves in the foot. They can run the ball consistently. They have creativity on offense. Their defense steps up when it matters. And their special teams, frankly, came out there and played a bigger role than the Eagles special teams did. And once again, we're sitting here after a defeat talking about all three phases, the coaching staff, the quarterback. I mean, even big-time playmakers like Miles Sanders and Travis Fulham weren't all the way making the plays that they needed to. Just once again, we're sitting here saying another game that has gone by the wayside because of self-inflicted wounds and things that, hey, maybe they're one or two plays away. But at this point, unless you're Doug Peterson, who said that today, that it's only three or four plays that decide a football game, looking at this Philadelphia Eagles team, I can't sit here and say that they're 3-4, even 5-6, or maybe even 7, 8, 9 plays away from being a successful football team, because when you look at it, everything you did in 16 and 17 and that very good recipe that you mixed together in 17 to get Carson into that MVP form, your offense was at all-time franchise highs, it is now just turned into a cement mixer and just very slow and and plotting, and you're 2 of 19 in the last 2 weeks on third downs. Carson Wentz just threw his first red zone interception since the end of 2018. Miles Sanders fumbles on the inch line. It just seems like nothing is going right for this offense, and I have to agree that nothing is going right for this offense. I believe the special teams unit is leaving a ton of plays out there. Greg Ward, if I never see him field a punt again, I would be very happy with that. Him not fielding that punt at the 5 arguably killed the entire momentum of the game, because they go and take that safety and then they kick it again and there's a field goal. So 5 points because your special teams coordinator cannot tell your fielder, the returner, to even take a fair catch at the 10-yard line. So, I mean, it's just little things over and over again. These penalties before the play. I mean, at the 2-minute warning, this play I really think encapsulates everything that is wrong with Philadelphia. And at the 2-minute warning, when everybody in the stadium, just kidding, there's not that many people in the stadium besides the 12,000 fans that were there, but they knew, and we knew at home, that they're going to try and get a hard count. And they did not get a penalty called, but someone jumped off sides at the 2-minute warning. And why I look at this play in particular, because as little as it is, great football teams win because they do the little things very well. We always say on the show, back to basics. You do the fundamentals very, very well. You look at Kansas City right now, and you look at, you would say, the Buccaneers, and you would look at an up-and-coming Saints team who has done a lot better the last few weeks in terms of the NFC. They do the little things well, and when things go awry, doing the little things well will keep you from taking your entire ship down. But when you're rotating your offensive line and you can't consistently have 5 players there that play the position, and you have a quarterback that just continues to make bad decisions, and you have a running game that in the elements they weren't getting it done, and your defense is still making some skeptical decisions in terms of contextually where they're making throwing blitzes at teams, and your special teams unit is just awry. Those are little things that, to me, stem from the top of the organization down, and I believe that this game is so much bigger, this game against Cleveland, than we think it was. It was an out-of-conference matchup, one that really doesn't matter all too often in terms of seeding and so forth. But to me, looking from where we were 5 years ago playing Cleveland till now, there are a lot of questions that need to be solved moving forward. And hey, maybe they start this week, maybe they start at the end of the season, but I think there are a lot of people in this organization that have to answer questions and have to be held accountable in just the direction that maybe we can get some good out of these last 6 weeks. Because frankly, as crazy as it seems, you're still in the mix of the playoffs. Maybe you battle out 1 or 2 victories against Seattle and Green Bay. It'll be a little reassuring that your guys haven't quit on the season yet, but you're right at that cusp of, man, this season is far but over, but it really is over when you look at it in terms of where you stand in terms of the entire NFL and the division and the conference as a whole. Because frankly, you can make the argument that you might not even be the best team in the NFC East right now. And we're going to look at some of these overarching areas that really poked their head through in yesterday's game. And I want to get into that and a lot of the things that Doug Peterson had said in his press conference today. But before we do that, once again, we would like to bring you a message from our sponsors at Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined a league of their own, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch it. If you're there watching your team get a win, something that us Eagles fans don't see, have a Pepsi, because it'll make your day that much better. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football. And before we get to the next segment, we would also like to bring you a message from our friends over at Echelon. Echelon It will get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and all new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily and live on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets you do up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days, so call to action. You are going to get Echelon at echelonfit.com/code. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. All right, everybody, that's go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelon.com/NFL. So thank you from our partners over at Echelon. All right, everybody, welcome on back to segment two of this painful edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm your host once again, Gino Camilleri, and I texted Lou this morning. I said, Sunday's just, they're not fun anymore. It's not even fun to watch this team play, and it really kills me to my core because I love good football and I love seeing good football played. And when I look at yesterday's game, I think there are a ton of different areas that really poke their head through to just show you where this team is. And I want to go right to the source, right to the person that's always ridiculed, and I want to go to Doug Peterson. Take a look across the aisle in Kevin Stefanski. Somebody who grew up in Philly, somebody who was an Eagles fan, somebody who got absolutely smoked by the Eagles in the NFC Championship game when he was the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. But we turn to things. Or actually, was he the offensive coordinator? Regardless, he was a Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator, ends up in Cleveland. Why did he get brought to Cleveland? Well, let's take a look at Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry was the once protege of Howie Roseman under the Joe Douglas tree as well. Somebody that really wants to bring this next generation of football, this analytical style of football, to the NFL. And you look at Cleveland, and especially this season, I feel like they have really done a very good job of getting Baker and company in a position to win football games. And why I point to this team in particular is because there's a lot of similarities, in my opinion. I wouldn't say Cleveland is a world-beating roster. I wouldn't say Cleveland, personnel-wise, is the best team in the AFC. And if you were to look at them on paper before the season started, I would probably put their offense and defense in a similar category with Philadelphia. But the way I look at it is, for once, for a long time, they finally have that culture and that identity to how they are going to win football games. And the reason that is important is because we always talk about in Philadelphia why we love Jeffrey Lurie, why I love Howie Roseman. I feel like because they have that winning mentality in their heads, they want to go out there, put together a great roster, put together a great culture. And right now we're kind of seeing that divide. But much like in the first two seasons of Doug Peterson, and let's look at 2017, for example, I look at this Browns team right now, and I think they're doing a lot of things well with their quarterback and with their overall offensive unit that Philadelphia did in 2017. They have that nice 1-2 punch of running backs that they're not afraid to uncork at any given time, and they're not afraid to punch the ball down your throat, and really, they are working the 4-minute drill all game long. And then Baker Mayfield, for example, somebody who hasn't been living up to the hype of the number one overall pick, somebody who has, quote-unquote, been a middle-of-the-road quarterback and not totally efficient quarterback in his career, is kind of now what we're saying with Carson Wentz. And if I look at Stefanski and how he got his team ready to play yesterday, setting up his quarterback on some bootlegs, getting him out of the pocket, identifying his strengths, how he works those misdirection plays, I think you look at Doug Peterson on the other side of the aisle, and this great tweet from Jeff McClain kind of goes to show why I'm referencing Stefanski and referencing Peterson here, is because they're both at opposite ends of the spectrum right now. And I'm kind of putting Stefanski in this Brian Daboll type label and this Greg Roman type label, where they know their quarterbacks and are in tune with their quarterbacks. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, the Doug Peterson end of the spectrum, now three seasons removed from the most efficient season we have seen under Doug Peterson, before the game, Doug had said that he should do a better job getting his quarterback outside the pocket more, rolling Carson Wentz outside because that's what he does best, and mixing in the running game and understanding that you have a quarterback that, quote-unquote, is your guy. Carson Wentz dropped back 41 times, and this is from Jeff McClain on Twitter. 41 times, just remember that number. And in those elements, if you think he should have thrown 41 times, I don't understand. He only got the ball out 35 times. He dropped back 41, and he was only rolled out a single time in that game. So to me, you look at Cleveland, you look at this linear understanding of what they are as an organization. They're a team that plays in the AFC North, hard-hitting, smash-mouth-style division, a team that has to win via the running game, a team that has to have a good defense, a very good defense, to keep up with Baltimore and Pittsburgh alike and to shut down their offenses as well, mixed in with your quarterback who isn't having a world-beating season by any means, but he's also not putting you in a position to lose games. But Carson Wentz is, and a lot of that has to do with the cohesion or lack thereof between him and Doug Peterson. And at this point, five seasons in, week after week, with no accountability, rather, that either of them, Doug Peterson not giving up play calls and Carson Wentz not being benched to any degree or not being taken off the field for at least a series for Jalen Hurts, to me, it just goes to show you that this team doesn't have an identity, and they're still working to find their identity, unlike a team like Cleveland. And I mentioned that quote that Chris Collinsworth said on Sunday Night Football about the Patriots, who they know who they are as a football team, and they're going to just have to play with the guys that they have. And frankly, that's who Philly is. But Philly doesn't have an identity, in my opinion. And we're two or three years away from the underdog season, the season when everybody counted them out and you could always count on the Eagles to come back when their backs were against the wall and play a good game and have guys step up when it mattered and not take stupid penalties and just be well-coached and have a good special teams unit and be sound in run defense. They're none of that anymore. And right now, this Eagles team has to understand and organizationally, they have to understand that the worst awareness is the lack of self-awareness. And I don't think this team is self-aware. I don't think Doug Peterson is self-aware. I don't think Carson Wentz is self-aware. Jim Schwartz, with his personnel unit, is not self-aware. Dave Phipp, with how he has gotten his special teams unit ready to play and the return and the kickoff and the punt units outside of just Cam Johnson, who should be the MVP of this team, I don't think any of them have really raised their team. Like, we talk about Carson being the guy always to go out and raise your unit around you. I don't think Doug has done that. And yes, you were out without Press Taylor and Coach Moorhead, but that's not an excuse. I'm done with excuses in Philly. I'm done with excuses from Doug Peterson. I'm sick and tired of him getting upset in press conferences when he's asked hard-hitting questions and when he's asked to hold people accountable. And on the show, yeah, we might try to be a little more lovey-dovey with these players and try to give them a little bit of a credit of the benefit of the doubt, rather. But at this point, I don't have it anymore because I don't think your leadership units stepped up in any capacity in that game. Like, where was the fire in that team? Outside of the last drive with a minute left, where was the motivation? Where was the sense of urgency in that team? Something that in that last game, four-game stretch in 2018 and 2019, you knew that they would come out with a fire. You knew that they were going to play hard, even with an undermanned unit. I just don't see it anymore. And at this point, it's too much on the personnel. It's so much more on the coaching to me at this point. And I think there's such a bundle of nothing fun coming in terms of personnel with the salary cap moving forward. At this point, you have to look at the coaching staff and say, how am I going to get this group of players ready to play week in and week out? Something major has to happen, in my opinion. I don't know if it's a firing. I don't know if it's benching Carson Wentz. I don't know if it's Howie Roseman giving up his drafting duties or Doug Peterson giving up his play calling or firing some coordinator. I don't know what the issue is. But to do the same thing over and over again is the definition of insanity. And we say it probably biweekly. You're probably sick of hearing it at this point. But in Doug's press conference today, for him to say, I am the reason that Carson hasn't been getting out of the pocket and I need to call the plays more. Yes, you're holding yourself accountable, but without action, words mean nothing. And it's getting into Chip Kelly territory for me where he kept saying the big things, big people beat up little people. I kind of laughed under my breath with that today. I was thinking of that when Doug said that in his press conferences, and it's same thing with Carson. We have to be better. Yeah, you do. You can't keep saying you have to be better. You have to go out there and actually be better. And for me, man, oh man, I am so disappointed in that showing yesterday. Not just from a sense of how they built this team, not just from a sense of how it was coached, just how it wasn't a Philadelphia Eagles football game, in my opinion. And it just, that was a game that we saw them against Buffalo last year in the elements, back against the wall. Like, is this team going to come out and perform? They haven't been playing the best of their abilities the last few weeks. Once again, they come out and lay an egg. Last year, they probably would have came out and done better. I know in 18, they would have came out and done better. 17, that's without question, they would have came out and done better. But this year, it's at the point to, is it the coaching staff that needs to go? Or is there an overarching philosophical paradigm-like change that this team needs to go through in the next 6 weeks, especially in this offseason? And I don't know if it's going to come this week. I don't know if it's going to come next week. I don't know if it's going to come at all. But you're going to learn a lot about the coaching staff, a lot about this organization, a lot more issues that I have and I'm going to present in the final segment of the Locked On Eagles podcast. And I know we try to be the positivity pod here, guys, but we got to hold people accountable. And that's what our friends over at Built Bar do. They're always holding you accountable with some of their delicious Built Bar flavors. The new and improved Built Bar is always there for you when you are working out. There are 18 amazing flavors, 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. There are 12 original flavors. You guys know what they are, just some of the great ones. Mint brownie, salted caramel, and double chocolate are always there. They're always covered 100% in chocolate, soft and easy to chew. And you guys can always get great offers from our friends over at Built Bar. And you can use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON. And you will get 20% off your next order. So, guys, if you want to stay away from a little bit of that winter weight and go out there and get fit, go to our friends at Built Bar. Use the code LOCKEDON and get yourself in the mood to get up and get hungry and ready to All right, everybody, welcome on back to the final segment and the final time we will be talking about this Cleveland Browns game, a chapter that hopefully I and the rest of us Eagles fans can leave in the rearview mirror because it was ugly. Gino Camilleri, as always, here, wrapping up this Cleveland Browns matchup with you guys. Just a few more areas where it really irks me in terms of this overall team. Doug Peterson also said in his press conference that Jason Peters deserved the opportunity to be the left tackle, that Nate Herbig also was benched on the inclination that every week it should be a new rotation of offensive linemen, and then also he needed to get Alshon Jeffrey more reps. All three of those things are very discouraging to me because I think Nate Herbig has definitely deserved a chance to be a starter on this football team. I thought he did a fantastic job. I don't know why he would be benched, especially when we were trying to find any sort of continuity on the offensive line. Jason Peters, once again, was an outright liability at left tackle yesterday. Got absolutely bowled over by guys like Adrian Claiborne, Olivier Vernon multiple times. And then Alshon Jeffrey ultimately cost you the game. And some of these personnel decisions to me are outright crazy. why is Kevon Wallace only playing 46 snaps on the season when a guy like Marcus Epps, who hasn't done anything on the year, anything in his career to garner any sort of production or play time, arguably your Andrew Sandejo Jr., you go out and keep a guy like Kevon Wallace on the bench, or a kid like John Hightower, who was so promising for 3-4 weeks, all of a sudden doesn't see any on-field action because Alshon Jeffery is back. Jordan Mailata, a player who could be your left tackle of the future, now all of a sudden is a rotational guy, and we know that bringing in rotational players when others are hurt and not allowing them to prepare for the week, much like Big V was his kind of forte, was that he played better when he could come in and prepare for a week. They're just going into the same things again. Jason Peters is off the field. They're giving more playing times to guys that are undeserving. I mean, even Jalen Mills, for example, he's playing outside corner once again. I don't get it. A lot of these question marks I don't get, and I think you're once again possibly going through another cycle of players with where you had a Rasul Douglas who leaves and goes to Carolina and has a pretty good season. I don't want that to happen again with John Hightower, because you want to go out there and play Alshon this year and next year, and you don't really let these young guys go out there and create opportunities for themselves and get their legs underneath them. And it's just very frightening as an organizational outlook that they're continuing to do a lot of the same mistakes in terms of team building, in terms of getting guys dressed and ready to play on Sundays, the fact that they can't get all three units healthy, or not healthy, ready to play all at the same time once again is discouraging. Outside of that defensive line and probably Darius Slay and Alex Singleton, the defense once again, man, Jim Schwartz, he just drives me crazy in terms of some of his personnel decisions. I think they gave up too much in the air once again. It's just a complete letdown in every stretch of the word. And I want to talk about good football, but we can't right now because there are so many bad things going on with this team that they can't even do the fundamental things correctly. It seems like every Carson Wentz pass is forced. It seems like every time a ball hits a receiver's hands that they're going to double clutch it. It seems like when there's an interception, you're never really sure if you are going to be able to get your hands on it or if somebody's going to drop it in the defensive backfield or recover a fumble that the defensive line overturns or even gain yards in special teams. It seems everything is just forced. Everything is laborious. The decisions in terms of personnel, the decisions in terms of play call and execution are just so baffling to me. And if I have to see one more Jalen Reagor orbit motion that does not get Jalen Reagor the ball, or a Jalen Reagor end around that they hand the ball off to Miles Sanders, something which we saw at least 8 to 9 times the past 2 weeks and isn't fooling anybody, I want Doug Peterson, and if he's listening, to take a little time out of his schedule and turn on a great show called Clone Wars. It's an animated show on Disney Plus, no free ads, about Star Wars. And you would think, what, Gino, why are you talking about Star Wars on an Eagles pod? One of the very first lines in this season of Clone Wars is that, if you know Star Wars, it talks about the battle between good and evil, and the droids are the evil and the clones were the good at the time. And the general of the clone army said, "The droids are figuring out what we are doing. They are using analytics to stop our every move. And if we don't change our analytics, they're there to be ready for the next move." And if you hear what I'm saying, and you understand what I'm saying, Doug Peterson, teams have caught on to you. Teams understand your play calling. You're not fooling anybody. You're not even at a level of Kevin Stefanski of what he was doing yesterday. You're not even at a level of what the Giants were doing with Jason Garrett, which is crazy to me. It is time to figure it out, and not by the end of the season, by next week. Are you going to give up play calling duties? Are you going to be able to implement a game plan that can get defenses on their toes, that can get defenses thinking, that can get guys open? How many times have you seen an open player on this offense? Everything's forced. Everything's pinpoint accurate. And right now, when you are inefficient and things aren't going right and teams can predict your every move, you're going to lose a lot of football games. And that's frankly where the Eagles are at currently. Thank you guys for joining me on this somber and downtrodden episode of the Philadelphia Eagles Locked On Eagles podcast, recapping the Eagles 22-17 loss to the Cleveland Browns, moving them to 3-6-1 on the season. Next week, the Philadelphia Eagles will be facing off again on Monday Night Football in primetime against the Seattle Seahawks. That should be a fun game. Lou and I will start to talk more about that game as we move into the week. So you guys know where to find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, anywhere where you guys can get your podcasts. You know where to find us on LockedOnEagles.com, LockedOnBirds on Twitter, and at DiBiase, L-O-E on Twitter as well for my co-host. You guys could catch me, Gino Camilleri, on your airwaves 4 to 5 times a week as the co-host of the Locked On Eagles podcast. You guys, thank you always, as always, for downloading. Thank you, as always, for listening. And fly, Eagles, fly.